From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Tuesday, March 1st. Coming up, treatment facilities for children with severe mental illness are struggling to hire enough workers. We'll get that story from Side Effects Public Media in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Mask mandates for many Illinois residents ended yesterday. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker stopped by Navy Pier in Chicago to mark the occasion. He was mask-free. Pritzker says he feels confident, mostly due to the sharp decline in new COVID-19 cases statewide.
Hospitalizations are way down, cases are way down, and we hope that we can sustain that through the spring and summer and, frankly, forevermore.
Private businesses can still enforce their own COVID-19 rules. Though mitigations are loosening, Pritzker says it's important for Illinoisans to do what makes them feel safe.
If you feel like you should wear a mask, indoors or outdoors, you should wear a mask.
Mask mandates for healthcare facilities, public transportation, state prisons, and nursing and veterans homes remain in place. A small group of University of Illinois students met with the state's lieutenant governor yesterday about the teacher shortage. As Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes reports, the students see tuition and fees as major barriers to becoming a teacher.
Half a dozen students walk out of the university's Diversity and Inclusion office in Champaign. They've just met with Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton. Rashad Young is an early childhood education master's student. He would like to see the state create a monthly stipend for students like him.
Maybe a monthly monetary incentive would be helpful because the deeper we get into the field, we can't work. And so we're trying to thrive off maybe back home, or we're trying to thrive off of something.
Almost 90% of Illinois superintendents believe their district has a teacher shortage, according to a recent survey by the Illinois Association of Regional Superintendents of Schools. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
The Champaign City Council approved a new program that will soon be hiring city workers to act as liaisons between residents and the city. The workers will be part of the Neighborhood Ambassador Program. They'll be sent to neighborhoods as needed, such as during sporting or other events. John Ruffin is the Neighborhood Relations Manager. He says the program will be residents' first point of contact with city government. He says people could talk to the ambassadors before contacting the city council or police.
There are a lot of occasions where you send somebody with a gun, but there might be some occasions where you want to just engage the government with somebody without a gun who can provide information, resources, support, and this is that team.
The hiring process for four ambassadors will begin this month. Ruffin says the program will start in May. For the second time in as many weeks, anti-Semitic flyers have been distributed in Champaign-Urbana. Champaign County State's Attorney Julia Reitz is also president of Sinai Temple in Champaign. She sent out a news release yesterday, along with Champaign-Urbana Jewish Federation President Mark Sneer and Federation Executive Director Linda Bauer. Reitz says many Urbana residents found anti-Semitic flyers in their driveways on Saturday. This comes a week after similar anti-Semitic flyers were found on the University of Illinois campus. Reitz says she and other Jewish leaders have notified Urbana police about the latest batch of flyers. They urge anyone who sees an anti-Semitic incident or is the victim of one to report it to both law enforcement and to leaders in the Jewish community. Still to come, we'll hear about treatment facilities for children with severe mental illness that are struggling to hire enough workers. That story from Side Effects Public Media is coming up next on 217 Today.
The 21st is where Illinois gathers for news, information, and daily conversation on politics, the pandemic, culture, and everything in between. I'm Brian Mackey, inviting you to join the conversation anytime, day or night, by leaving us a voicemail. The number is 217-300-2121, and we might play it on air. Then tune in Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. on AM 580 and 6 p.m. on FM 90.9.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. America is in the midst of a workforce crisis. Help wanted signs everywhere, restaurants cutting hours. When the facilities that care for the nation's most vulnerable youth are short-staffed, the consequences can be dire. For Side Effects Public Media, Dylan Piers McCoy and Carter Barrett report.
We hear drums in the distance as we walk down a hallway at Lutherwood Residential Treatment Center in Indianapolis. Through the windows on the right, there's a courtyard. On the left, a group of kids play the bongos. Lutherwood provides long-term care for children with mental health or behavioral issues. About 30 kids live here now, and almost all of them are referred by probation or the State Department of Child Services.
rates. I say 100% of our kids have trauma.
That's Rachel Fisher. She's in charge of this facility.
So the kids might come here for a variety of reasons. Depression, suicidal ideation, self-harm, substance use. Maybe they've stolen a car. Maybe they were part of an armed robbery.
In other words, these are vulnerable kids. I'm Carter Barrett.
And I'm Dylan Pierce-McCoy. This facility, like others across Indiana and the country, is facing a workforce crisis. Residential treatment centers say they need more money from the state to attract workers. The state says they get enough, and it's up to them to raise pay. But Lutherwood is at a breaking point. Shortages force them to cut the number of children they care for in half and close their emergency youth shelter. The facility has 55 open positions for direct care staff, who make about $15 an hour. That's typical for youth care jobs, which usually only require a high school diploma. Here's Fisher again.
We are competing with like your Amazons, your fast food, Target.
Youth care takes a lot of skill to do well, and it can be really taxing. Staff work through the night. They navigate monotonous hours motivating teens to shower, helping with homework, finding entertainment until dinner.
But at any point, this can all be interrupted by really frightening kinds of emotional disturbance and behavioral crisis.
That's Yvonne Smith, a professor at Syracuse University who studies youth care. Smith asked workers about the hardest part of their jobs for a paper.
What they told me was, in fact, the hardest part is getting punched in the face. The hardest part was seeing my coworker get attacked by a kid and not feeling supported then by our organization.
Smith says worker shortages put pressure on the current staff and the child welfare system. When residential facilities and shelters are full, kids end up further from home and in temporary settings. In the worst-case scenarios, they spend the night in a caseworker's office, or they're placed in juvenile detention.
The State Child Welfare Agency and treatment centers are at a standstill over how to make sure treatment is available for the kids who need it most. Facilities say the problem is funding, but Department of Child Services Deputy Director David Reed says payments have been rising for years, and treatment centers can choose to pay their staff more. He says they've even tried to sweeten the deal.
We've offered these providers sometimes double the regular per diem to be able to meet the needs of some of these more difficult, more challenging young people. Even with that, sometimes we're not able to find these programs who are willing to say yes.
This is a long simmering controversy, and the problem was worsened by the pandemic. Indiana lawmakers are paying attention, with several bills to address this issue, but it's unclear if any will become law. For Side Effects Public Media, I'm Carter Barrett.
And I'm Dylan Pierce-McCoy.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be partly cloudy and warmer today with a high of 61 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Emily Hayes, Sydney Wood, Dylan Pierce-McCoy, and Carter Barrett. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.